Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is Wednesday, which means we chat to the wonderful Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today, Dr. Harold?
I am well, thank you. I know we've got a lot to talk about, but can we go a little bit off the plan and just talk about
sure.
this tsunami that is seems to be in the news right now?
So what's the latest on it? Has it landed yet, or is it on the pathway, or is it
is
aimed at
it? So, hold on, I'm going to go back to the headline. Tsunami hits Japan following a coast following the Russian earthquake. U.S. braces for a potential tsunami. So the tsunami waves arrived on the eastern coast of Japan on Wednesday following a powerful earthquake. 8.8 magnitude earthquake triggered fears of a tsunami. I mean, that is absolutely massive, isn't it?
The size of the earthquake, yes, but does it cause any tsunami at all? That varies.
Right.
So the way to think about a tsunami mm-hmm. is that you get a chunk of ocean floor, maybe 5 kilometres by 5 kilometres.
Right.
And then you suddenly move it up or down 1 metre. And above it is, on average, 4.5 kilometres of water. That's a huge amount of energy. That energy will then spread out in all directions.
Right.
If the earthquake makes that happen, then you've got a tsunami. If the earthquake just makes the ocean floor go left-right, you've just got an earthquake that made the ocean floor go left-right. But you've got to actually make the water go up-down for the tsunami to happen. So have we any reports of any damage on land?
So I don't know the damage yet. We do know that. I think they said 13 feet so far have hit Japan. I don't know if that's massive or not.
Oh, what? A wave 13 feet high has hit the coast of Japan.
Yes.
13 feet high is massive.
Oh, okay. So that is happening
That's twice the height of a human.
Right.
If you're at the beach, it's twice your height.
Right.
And it can come in a long way. So what we're hoping for is that the early warning system that the Japanese have installed will work, combined with their long-term history of planning for it. Now, every now and then, somebody with a lot of money manages to bypass the local regulations, and bad things happen, like when you build your emergency electric generators 1 metre above sea level.
Right.
Of course, they're going to be swamped, right? So then you're looking at other factors. So, wow.
Yeah.
So it will, of course, I imagine, have, as a genuine tsunami, spread in all directions.
Right.
And the other direction is over towards the USA. But Japan is closer than the USA, so we've got a time delay.
Correct.
Any mentions from the USA yet?
Yes, it says, no, well, nothing's hit there, but in Hawaii it says, 10-foot, this is on CNN, 10-foot tsunami waves possible in Hawaii after massive quake hits Russia. And they say that
possible.
It'll wrap around the islands, it would seem.
Okay, possible. You got nothing. So here we're looking at the difference between news and stories.
I love that.
Right? And much of the so-called news today is merely the same headline repeated over and over, but with the added disadvantage of having been massaged through an AI. And the classic example was, do you remember I mentioned the Air India flight came down and most of the people died, and the problem with the misreporting of the AI about the type of plane? Did I tell you about that?
No.
Okay, so what? Basically, the story is, for various reasons, a Boeing 787 taking off did not succeed in taking off. Particularly everybody died. We're not too sure why even yet. We're getting closer. And it was a Boeing 787. And Airbus is a competitor to Boeing.
Right.
Then that travelled through the wires and, you know, the news wires, the social media, and then various media organisations around the world looked at it and said, oh, let's make this more scary, less scary, let's make it funny, let's make it sad, and they threw it to an AI. And the AI then started telling lies. And from about half an hour to about 4 hours, many, many of the reports said that it was an Airbus plane. Right? AI has no intelligence. It is just a prediction machine. So AI is going to lead to a lot of misreporting, accidentally, by the fact that the various news organisations, having fired most of their real human reporters, will feed it in, and it says, and the type of plane was, and it looks up the plane, there's the word Airbus. And it doesn't care that it wasn't an Airbus plane. It just says it was an Airbus. So that report you had said of a possible 10-metre wave, mate, it could have been a possible 50-kilometre high wave. Right, but what have we got so far? We got nothing.
Right. So interesting and so important, this.
Well, having reliable media has always been important and has always been manipulated over the ages, for thousands of years, and it goes back to, for example, the earliest case I could find was where an Egyptian pharaoh had a battle with a very powerful enemy and lost, and then came back saying that he'd won, and as a result was able to have favorable trade agreements.
It is so interesting. I use that in one of my talks as well, where we talk about fake news. That's I think that is one of the earliest examples that we can find.
And humans have always been known to lie. So in this case, we're relying upon a combination of long-term planning for such an eventuality,
right,
combined with the short-term news dissemination and emergency warning system. And that varies from country to country and place to place. So we'll find out as it goes along. And by the way, last thing, the word tsunami literally means harbour wave. And it ties into the fact that in any wave in water, the speed of the wave is proportional to the square root of the depth. So as it gets shallower, the wave gets slower.
Oh, slower, right.
Yeah, the square root of the depth. Mm. So the wave gets slower. And so you've got the wave coming along, and then it starts to run into the shallow water in a harbour. So it slows down. The front bit of the wave slows down. But the back bit of the wave comes, and then it slows down. So it gradually builds up in a harbour. Hence the name harbour wave. But in the deep sea, it can travel at up to 800 kilometres an hour.
Wow.
And then it slows down enormously in shallower water.
Absolutely fascinating. Thank you for that. Let's talk about why we sleep.
Yeah, it seems to be tied back to mitochondria, the powerhouses of the cell. I'll just turn this off. And how I turned off, I'll just go straight to voicemail. Sorry about that. Very amateurish of me. Ah, mate, you can't get good help nowadays. Sorry about that. So what do you know about cell biology and mitochondria?
Well, we know that they are the building blocks of who we are.
Close.
Okay.
So, close.
Yeah.
Well, no. Stick to the truth. So, you and I are each made of about 37 trillion cells, and those cells grow and then divide, and providing the energy for them are some biological machines inside our cells called mitochondria, and we're pretty confident that when photosynthesis started happening and oxygen got dumped into the atmosphere, these guys, the mitochondria, were cells that lived then, and they hated the oxygen, and our cells took them on board. And the deal is that we keep them alive, we throw oxygen at them that they hate, and in return, they give us ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is our energy molecule. So if you want to buy a cup of coffee, I'm not familiar with your currency. It costs you 500 million rand or something?
About 30 rand,
Okay, so you buy a cup of coffee with rand. So if you want to buy a cup of coffee or pay for your electricity or watch a movie, you have to spend rands. If you want anything to happen in the human body, you've got to break down ATP, adenosine triphosphate. You have to break it down into a smaller molecule, which gives off a lot of energy, and then it gets pumped up again by mitochondria. It gets repaired and rebuilt. So anytime you want to flicker an eyelid, move a muscle, process liquid through your kidneys, pump blood through your heart, pump air through your lungs, you're breaking down ATP, and it gets rebuilt by these mitochondria, which invaded us about 1.3 billion years of age of the Earth when oxygen got thrown into the atmosphere. Okay. Now, these guys, these mitochondria, we've been learning a lot about them. Mm-hmm. Last week I was talking about how when you've got a cancer cell, the cancer cell needs a huge amount of energy And just in the last few weeks, that we found out that the way the cancer cell gets its energy is it extrudes something like a thin drinking straw in the direction of the nearest nerve, stabs the nerve, and starts stealing mitochondria.
Wow.
And then this week, and the mitochondria are not individual creatures. They have different DNA from us, and they talk to each other, and they talk to each other in different parts of the body. So they make chemicals in your gut muscles, or in the walls of your gut, that talk to other mitochondria in your brain. They're like a separate living network inside us. And just this week, we discovered a potential as to why we need to sleep. By the way, if you ever want to make a sleep scientist annoyed, just say, hey, why do we sleep? And they'll say, we don't know. All right, you happy? we don't know why we sleep. Right. But the latest hypothesis is that in certain parts of the brain, the mitochondria, having been busy all day, begin to get damaged and break down. And so they switch down and go to sleep and do a repair mechanism. And that part of the brain that they're active in does a repair. It's not your whole brain that goes to sleep. Your brain is active all the time. And so there's a Howard who runs your body for 8 hours a day, mm-hmm. whom you will never meet. There's Sleep Howard and there's Awake Howard, and the two never meet. Maybe they meet a little bit in dreams, but not much.
Amazing.
And so other parts of your brain wake up. And so the latest hypothesis about why we need to sleep is to repair the reversible damage that happens to the mitochondria in certain parts of the brain. And they're the parts of the brain that do things like keep your eyelids open, help you go out and hunt a lion for dinner or something like that.
Dr. Carl, thank you. Absolutely fascinating, as always.